Well, I invite you now, if you would take your Bibles and open to Psalms. You can open to the 119th Psalm, and we're going to be looking at the 105th verse. As Matt said earlier, today is Vision Sunday, and what that means is that this morning, once each year, each of the pastors are preaching about how we see God's work, how God is at work both in our midst and where we see the Lord calling us outward for the future. And my verse that speaks to this from my part of this preaching this morning is verse 105, which is just one little verse. It's a very well-known verse, but it can go right past you. So I want to make sure you're ready for it. Everybody ready for it? Yes. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord, speak to us through this, your word, that we might not only hear it, but do it through the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. How do we know the future? The truth is, we can't. It's a mystery. But we can peer around the corner of the future. How? Through God's Word. Gathering around God's Word together as God's people in devotion, in reading, in study, in worship, and in our imagination, letting the Word of God shape our imagination of the world around us is what gives us the ability to look ahead with a vision that guides us. And this verse, verse 105 of the 119th Psalm, shows us that the Word does this for us in two specific ways. First, it shows us what's right in front of us. In other words, it's a lamp to our feet, the feet that are right underneath us. If you're camping and you walk around at night, for example, you need a lamp to show you what's right in front of you, what's at your feet. Or you could bump into something, stub your toe, or step on something you don't want to step on, depending on where you're camping. If you're camping in the desert, it could be a rattlesnake. Who knows? Second, however, God's Word also shows us the path ahead or the future. It's a light to our path. If you're driving at night, your lights show you what's ahead on the road so that you can prepare for it properly. You and I need God's direction each and every day for what's going on in the moment. This is why daily time in God's Word is that important. But you and I also need help interpreting what's coming up in the next year, the next few years, or even maybe the next 5 to 10 years. If we fail to plan, we are just planning to fail. And God's Word helps us peer around the corner into the future. So how does this apply to Columbia Presbyterian Church in 2019? Well, let me first talk about some things that are going on right now under our feet. Right now, God's Word is guiding us with the exciting and innovative ministries that are emerging out of all the work this congregation has done on this vision over the last 14 years, which precedes the time I arrived here. Columbia started a mission study in 2006 and has been working on implementing it ever since then. The vision has become clearer over that time. But right now, right as we worship this morning, this vision is starting to pop into being everywhere around us. Our vision is to make disciples across the generations, intergenerationally, and then to send God's people to bless the communities in which we live, the places where we are day to day. That's exciting, but what does that look like? Well, first I want to say it looks like missional experiments. What is a missional experiment? That is an experiment on someone's part when they say, I think God wants me to, and then they fill in the blank, to do something in the name of Christ, out in the world, or maybe even in the church. And that is what it means to be missional. Missional is not an activity you do, it's a way of thinking. Here's a way to understand the word missional. It's the way you see yourself, and it's the way we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves as a church, as a place where religious things happen? That's not missional. Or do we see ourselves as a group of people sent on God's mission every day? We see ourselves as God's people sent on God's mission every day. Therefore, we do missional experiments. They are breaking out all over. Last week, we heard from Caitlin Zimmer and Grace Carolus, who thought they had a good idea, and it was a good idea, to collect some things that they could give away to people in need at the Winter Hospitality Overflow. They included their entire grade school in the process, and they collected so much stuff that they had a surplus. That's a missional experiment. And let me just tell you also that some experiments will succeed and some will fail. One of the things that we are as a congregation is a group of people who have learned how to embrace the risk of faith and to engage in these experiments, whether they succeed or fail. If they don't work, then we won't do them again. But if they do work, we do them again. And now we also, right now, have what is called a missional engagement team to whom people can go if they have an idea that they want to explore and get some help from the church on how to organize it, how to put it together, how to move forward with that. Most churches don't have a way for anybody to explore that kind of thing, but we do. Right now, those missional experiments are beginning to break out in and through the entire life of this congregation. You will hear more from Matt and Jordy later in the service about that. But also right now, I would also say that what God is doing in our midst is, what it looks like is this. We are experiencing a greater commitment to caring for each other. Let me just say, our deacons in our church do such a good job as care partners and other visits and other ministries in and through our church in helping us care for each other and for our larger community. And many of you are involved in those kinds of endeavors as well, just caring for other people. But along with that, I would also say there is an expanded need for a visiting pastor. Later this year, we will be able to add 5 more hours to that position, which is currently at 15 hours a week. This will help us become inwardly strong in caring for and deepening our connections with each other, along with helping us be outwardly focused. But there's one other area where I see God working in our midst right now. Here's what it looks like. It looks like getting the building paid off. You didn't know that was coming, but there it is. We have an event coming up on May the 5th called Big Give Sunday. Everybody repeat after me, May the 5th. Good, if you say it, you'll remember it. We expect to see you back on May the 5th. This is the final push to pay off the campus renewal project that this congregation supported and called forth 10 years ago. The entire cost of the campus renewal project added up to a total of $8.1 million. Over the last 5 and a few months, years, we have paid off together all but $650,000 of it. Isn't that amazing? But let me say this, like any road trip, the last 60 miles or so are sometimes the hardest. So on Sunday, May the 5th, we're going to gather our gifts together to see if we can put $650,000 together as a congregation and pay that thing off together on one day. And we do that for the purpose of being able to focus with much greater freedom on all of the things God wants us to do in the future. So pray and plan and come ready to party on May the 5th. So when is it going to happen? Thank you. If we simply offer what God puts on our hearts, brothers and sisters, we can do this thing. But then what about down the road? What about peering around the corner? Here's what I see in the future, and I think this is actually a great opportunity, though it can sound a little dark when I first mention it. I see an ever-increasing need in a society and a community, even here, that is becoming ever more secular and ever more dysfunctional. And in that dysfunctionality that we see growing around us, not shrinking, the gospel shines like a beacon that draws all seekers to it. And here at Columbia Presbyterian Church, we will always proclaim the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his service. And in my opinion, we have a growing opportunity to be a beacon of light as the darkness seems to grow around us. That is the future. And it's a great opportunity. I also see in our community around us a hunger for connections. People are lonely. And the opportunity to provide places for connections and friendship is going to be huge in the future, much more than it is even right now. All of this is going to require greater commitment and patience and resolute trust as God's people, as a congregation. Being God's people in the midst of this future will require adaptability, innovation, bold faith, and commitment. So let's go there together. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, our eyes cannot see you, our hands cannot touch you. You are beyond the understanding of our minds, yet you have breathed your spirit into our spirits. You have formed our minds to seek you, inclined our hearts to love you, and called us to be heirs of your eternal kingdom. Oh Lord, today I pray that you would give us the faith to lay hold of the things that are unseen so that we can live as those who are in the embrace of the living God through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Holy God, when we come into your presence, we are aware of our shortcoming, our sin, desires that are not of you, ways that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, things we have done, things we have left undone, times you've called us to be gracious or loving and we have failed or turned away. So God, in a time of silence, we bring our sorrows, our regrets, the ashes that we've made of our lives, and we lay them before you. Amen. I hear these words from Romans chapter 5. Paul writes, "While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And God proves his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, that is the good news, that it's not once we got our act together that God decided, okay, I'll forgive you. It's while we were still sinners that Christ died for us without our vote, because he loves you as you are, not as you should be, because you'll never be as you should be. So friends, that is good news. Amen? Amen. So what happens when we begin believing God? Not just believing in God, but actually believing him, believing what he says. When we believe what he says about forgiveness, when we believe what he says about his love for us, listen to these words just before what we read, or what I spoke from Romans 5, these words that come just before it. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast also in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Romans 5:5 is the gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. God freely pours his love toward us, not simply kind of in our general direction, but into our hearts, into our inner being, because God gives himself to us through his Holy Spirit. And the effect of that love is that those who are open to it, as Paul says, they are justified. They have peace with God. They gain access to God's abundant grace. They stand on it as a firm foundation for their lives. And this gives them hope that no matter how hard life gets, this gives them hope no matter how hard life gets, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. There's actually a double meaning to verse 5. God's love is creative, so it's not only a love that God pours out for us, but it also changes us. It gets inside of us so now that it can flow through us. So this gospel reality reminds me of a beautiful sentence from a graduation speech that was given by Mr. Rogers, or Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood a few years back. He said these words, "From the time you were very little, you've had people in your life who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, loved you into loving." Loved into loving. That's what God does. And at its best, that's what the church does. Back in 2006, this congregation did a mission study, and one of the major hopes and desires expressed in that study was for more opportunities for adult spiritual growth. And so today I celebrate the fact that on any given week, there are as many as 500 adults involved in some kind of small group or women's circle or class here at Columbia. And I celebrate that last year we had 8 different adult conference and retreat opportunities, and there's one next week and a men's retreat if you haven't signed up yet. But what I am especially encouraged by and excited by is that the fact that disciple-making is on the increase, and that it is spreading like good fertilizer, bringing new strength and life into just about every area of the church and beyond the church. And to focus this new emphasis, we've developed an experiential course we call Disciple Shift. It ran for the third time this last fall with more than 100 of you participating. And after Disciple Shift, people have an opportunity, if they want to participate in a more extended experience of about 2 years in what we call huddles. And what's exciting to me is, and what I celebrate with you today, is that through these experiences, a disciple-making culture is beginning to spread in Columbia. The foundation of our discipling work is expressed in this verse, Romans 5:5, that the love of God that has been freely poured out on upon us as God's beloved sons and daughters. We spend a lot of time there in that place on believing, actually believing, and trusting and embracing this love of God, because we believe that we are loved into loving. When we are stunned by how good God is and really believe that his love and his goodness is for us, then we can be free to focus on loving people around us that God has put into our lives. Then we are free to listen to God and respond to God with hope and with courage. And not surprisingly, since God is so abundantly creative with his love, the way his love gets expressed through us is only limited by our imagination. As just one example, I want to tell you the story of holy yoga, or more accurately, the story of God working in the life of Sarah. Some years ago, as a busy mom and suffering from frequent migraines and neck pain, Sarah stumbled upon the practice of yoga as a source of relief and self-care. A little later, she added mindfulness-based stress reduction. Together, those practices gave her calm and kept her centered. And then 2.5 years ago, Sarah participated in Disciple Shift, where one of the foundational practices involves a time daily in prayer with God's Word. And to her surprise, she found that the simple approach taught there was personally liberating for her. She writes, "I came to understand the Bible can speak to us as individuals, even if we don't have training in biblical studies. It was liberating. I began to feel as if I was part of the story." Have you ever felt that in your own life that you are part of the biblical story? Because you are. Well, Sarah became curious. Maybe there's a way that the blessing that she was receiving through the scriptures might relate to her yoga and mindfulness practices. So she did what we all do when we're curious. She Googled it. And to her surprise, she found that there was actually a thing out there called holy yoga. And as she investigated further, Sarah discovered that this holy yoga community shared the same core values that she had come to embrace through her huddle experience. Sarah says, holy yoga is actually not about the yoga, it's about the holy part. It's about being present and attentive to God. Through this channel, it seems several streams of her life were converging. In our disciple making, we talk about the idea that we are sent, that the love that's been given to us is to be shared. And Sarah began to think of people that God had put in her life who could be blessed by something like this. She thought of a friend who was studying to become a yoga instructor but had yet to find her faith. Maybe this could be a bridge. She thought of other friends who are Christian but uncomfortable with exercise. Well, maybe this could be a bridge for them. She thought of still other friends without a faith who would never sit in a pew but might come to yoga and hear about the love of God there. Well, as Sarah began to share some of this thinking with her husband and her huddle group and with other people here at Columbia, she received great encouragement to step out and give it a try. Now, there is a lot more to her story. Someday Sarah will need to share it herself. But what I want us to see and celebrate today on this Vision Sunday is the formation of a missional imagination. Sarah did not start studying yoga with any sense that it was related to her faith. And when she found holy yoga, she didn't start pursuing it with a clear vision that someday she would teach it at Columbia. It's something that evolved over time as her curiosity and her desire and her dream bumped up against the support and the encouragement and the imagination of people here at this Columbia community. And that's what a disciple-making culture creates, a confidence in God's goodness and love that overflows into a curiosity and openness and a creativity to sharing that love. Each one of us here is part of God's ongoing biblical story. And I wonder what God-given dreams God might be inviting you to pursue even now. Because that's what God loves to do. He loves us into loving. God longs to take our everyday, ordinary lives and use them to share his love with those that he has placed within our reach. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Let me pray for us, and then we'll hear a little bit from God's Word. Let's pray together. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom amongst the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It's the word of the Lord. We've been sharing about different ways that we see God's vision being lived out, working out in the life of our church. It's a vision that we feel like God has led us to. It's not my vision. It's not your vision. It's not Fitz's vision. We believe it's a vision that the Spirit has led us in our life together to. And part of the nature of that vision is that it's unexpected. You heard Fitz share a little bit about celebration of what's been going on in life. Our church, Jordy, shared kind of a word of encouragement. And part of what I'm sharing about is the unexpected mystery about how God works out a vision like he's given our church over time. And you heard some stories about that already this morning. We have new ministries that seem to be springing up out of the gifts and lives of people in our church that we never would have expected. These are things we aren't planning for. The pastors aren't initiating them. They're just coming forth from the life of this congregation and the outworking of the Spirit out of your lives and often outside the walls of the church. And the truth is, if we really think about it, that should come as no surprise to us as people of faith. Because we are a people of God, or people who serve a God who shows up unexpectedly in Scripture, who often uses unexpected people to accomplish His mission, even at times His enemies, to accomplish His purposes. We are people who follow that Spirit, the very presence of Jesus, the same presence that is in this room with us right now, wherever that Spirit leads. And this was true for the Corinthians as well. You heard Paul citing the mystery of how God's Spirit works in the life of the people at Corinth. He says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Paul's point throughout the whole beginning of 1 Corinthians is that God is up to something that the Corinthians never could have calculated for. No matter how wise the people were, no matter how powerful they were, or moneyed they were, or intelligent they were, no matter how good they were at planning details or strategizing, the church in Corinth never could have seen, they never could have figured out what God had done or was about to do. And the same could be said of the Apostle Paul. Paul could have thought his deepest thoughts, he could have prayed his deepest prayers, he could have written the most eloquent words as he often did, and he never would have been able to see what God had coming in his life. In fact, if Paul is to be believed, if we take him at face value, he says likely the opposite will happen. The smarter we are, the wiser we are, he says in Corinthians, the more power that we have might actually serve as a barrier to us understanding what God is up to. Because in Paul's life and in the life of the church at Corinth, God had done something so scandalously different, it made no sense. It put everything they'd known previously at risk. What was that thing? God had chosen to come into the world and rescue all of humanity through a seeming defeat on a cross. That was God's plan. The logic of that cross and the way that Jesus lived His life make no sense in this world of ours. But this is how our Lord works, and it's how God has been working in the life of this church, always through the unexpected. There is always a mystery to be followed, something new to be explored because of what the Spirit is up to, and I have seen it with my own eyes. You know, 5 years ago when we started this building project that you heard Fitz mention, we thought we were remodeling that youth center up there for the sake of the youth that were here in this church. We thought we were going to have a slightly better youth ministry that might be slightly better at reaching out to kids in our county. But who could have conceived that God, just a few years later, would be using that youth center to do what it's doing now? You know, we house 4 separate nonprofits other than our youth ministry in that youth center who graciously allow us to let junior hires into their office for small groups. God help them. Who could have seen that coming? Certainly not the people in those offices. Who could have seen that God would then also use the other half of that building? Out of fiscal responsibility, we chose not to remodel that other half. And God said, "That's fine with me. I don't need a new building to do new ministry." And He opened up that warehouse. He used a space that was underutilized and overstuffed to clear it so that we could start Utmost Athletics this fall. And have 40 students in our community, and they're in an affordable strength training program, building community. They're eating meals together. A few Bible studies have popped up. And we've got middle schoolers and college students who we never expected to see in that room. Initially, I didn't. And now we're trying to figure out what to do with that. And the Spirit is at work in the midst of it. I certainly never could have conceived when we bought our little beater home in Camas a few years ago and foolishly made the mistake of attempting to remodel it, that God would have led me to a house. Listen to this. We bought that house, and I found out from Sharon Franklin, I think I just saw her out here somewhere, after we moved in, that 2 previous folks engaged in ministry in this church had lived in that house previously. And 2 months after I moved in, a guy walked up the street, and he said, "You know, my childhood friend named Matt grew up in this house, and he became a minister later in life." That house is possessed, hopefully in a good way. But who can conceive, right, that out of remodeling that house, that the strange idea would pop up after hiring some students that maybe we should try youth ministry this way? Our God can. Amen? And my sense is that we are just beginning to see. We are just at the beginning of seeing how God intends to carry out this vision in the life of our church that He's laid before us. We are just beginning to see who in the life of our church God is going to plant. Right? On a team, or in the midst of a book, or in a class, or out in the community, or in a neighborhood, or in a school, or in a workplace. And every time God plants somebody like that, it seems like He does something really cool with it in the life of this church. This last 2 years in particular, I feel like every time I turn around as your minister, someone in our community has grown deeply in trust. They have stretched themselves a little bit for the sake of the faith. Sometimes they have gone through painful life experiences. And yet God has planted some new sense of call, some new sense of what is possible because of the gospel and the work of the Spirit within them. God has redefined for them what it means to be them and to get up and go to work or into life each and every day. And sometimes it's big and sometimes it's small, but it always seems to have God's thumbprint on it. And I will tell you, it has been an amazing grace of God and a privilege to get to see it and watch it, because we can't control it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 reminds us that we have not even begun to conceive of what our God will do and can do in our lives. And so we sit on this Vision Sunday looking at what God is calling us to in the next year of this church's life and beyond, and it's important for us to give thanks to the work of God's Spirit in the life of our church, and to wait with expectation to see what that Spirit will draw out of your lives and my lives and out of our life together as a congregation next. Because God has always worked this unexpectedly from Corinth to Vancouver and into your life and my life, and is likely to continue to do so. Amen? Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with those whom only God loves, both this day and forevermore. And let God's people say, Amen. Amen.